Parshas Vayakhel deals with a recap of the things that were made in the Mishkan. And in recapping, it mentions that he made the laver of copper and its base of copper from the mirrors of the legions who massed at the entrance of the tent of meeting. We know about this kiyor, this laver, this wash basin from Parsha Ki Tisa. To go back to 1a, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "You shall make a copper laver and its base of copper for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water there. From it, Aaron and his son shall wash their hands together with their feet. Whenever they come to a tent of meeting, they shall wash with water and not die. For when they approach the altar to serve, to raise up its smoke and a fire offering to Hashem, they shall wash their hands and feet and not die. It shall be for them an eternal decree for him and his offspring for their generations." So we know about this kiyor that Rabelsky tells us, source number 3, the kiyor was a copper vessel filled with spring water from which the Kohanim would purify their hands and feet prior to performing the service of the Mishkan. And the kiyor does not appear in the list of vessels that were made from the copper contributed as part of the Trumos HaMishkan in Parshas Vayakhel. In Vayakhel, the Torah tells us the kiyor was made by Marot HaTzovel Sashir Tzovel Petach HaMoed. And Rashi explains that these legions were the Nashim Sidkanios, the righteous women of Bnei Israel, had come to contribute with their copper mirrors to the Mishkan. And we know, where did these come from? So the women who, and this is source number 2 as well, the women who in Egypt were able to entice their husbands after a hard, back-breaking day to be able to continue the Jewish people, to continue to procreate, these mirrors which serve such a high, lofty purpose, which Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to accept, Hashem says, "These are the most beloved to me." And there was no weight to it. All the mirrors were just amassed and put together on this kiyor. And Rabelsky continues, "The kiyor is unique among the vessels. It was not constructed from the materials contributed by all the people, only by the special contribution of the righteous women. The gathering of the women at the entrance of the tent of meeting shows us the extent to which women desire to participate in the Avodas HaMishkan." So, putting all of this together, let's raise a number of questions. The obvious question, which is 4b, Rav Nevenzahl brings, this is the only one of the materials that were made in the Mishkan, not the Aron, not the Shulchan, the Mizbeach. This is the only one where we know who specifically contributed to this, and that's the women. So we have to understand, obviously, this deserves attention. We have to understand what is the significance of these mirrors that the women brought. Further, the way the Chumash describes it here, these are from the women who were Asher Tzav'u, that were gathered at Petach HaMoed. Why were they gathered there? Why is it significant that they were gathered there? How does that impact on the mirrors that they donated? Further, we need to understand what was the kiyor in general. What was the purpose of the kiyor? Why was it necessary for the Kohanim to wash their hands and feet? And it's repeated that it's l'dorosechem, for all generations. Well, we don't have the avoda today. In what way is it for us still applicable, this idea of washing? And finally, the placement of the kiyor, which is found in Parsha Ki Tisa, is also significant. It was placed between the tent of meeting, which means the entrance of the tent, and the altar. Why specifically there? What do we learn from the placement? So we have a tremendous amount of questions. And obviously, mirroring mirrors mindset, we have to be able to take some of these ideas and be able to inculcate it into our lives. We're going to take a look at this on 3 levels. And the structure Mirtz Hashem will use today is, what was the purpose of the kiyor? That will be our focus question. 3 levels. It's really 3 parts of one continuum. It's not 3 different ideas. It's 3 different steps. And on each level, to understand the role of the woman and to understand its placement and its ramifications for our lives. So let's begin. Level number one will begin with the Nesiva Shalom, the Slomin Rebbe, where he speaks about the Beit HaMikdash, source 4a, Haya Mechuvan Keneged Kol Matzah Adam. We've spoken about this in the past, that the Beit HaMikdash paralleled the human being. Just like we have three sections, our head, our heart, and our lower part, so too you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was the highest part, the Moach, you had the Hecha, which is the Lev, and then you had the outer chamber, which is the where the Mizbeach was, and that is obviously the Esh Tamid Tukad Bo. That's taking our desires and being able to elevate them to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, what was the Kiyor? The bracket in 4a. Shekiyor inyano shenatana Kodesh Baruch Hu kli lasod al yado hachana kodem shenigashim lovada ben amigdash vodav dam mizbeach. The purpose of the Kiyor is one purpose. And again, we're on the first level of the three, and that is, it was hachana. It was preparation. Before you come to be able to serve, you need to prepare yourself accordingly. And the washing of the hands and the feet was a form of preparation. Specifically, it says in Nesiva Shalom, we know that water represents tshuva. It represents changing one's status, like going to the mikvah. The water here, the pouring of the water, it was inyan hatshuva, shiyudi yashuva tshuva begishato lavod lefnei Hashem Yitbarach. In what way did they prepare themselves? They prepared themselves in tshuva. Yirachatzu mayim, mayim morel tshuva, that sheyaseh tshuva al tshuvato, that in order to be able to come to have a relationship with Hashem, you have to do tshuva on where you're standing and recognize you have a lot more to do. And tshuva al kiros chelek haranim sabadam. It's a tshuva for taking out all the negativity in a person. It's about preparing oneself and one's mindset to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is not just in the world of the avoda in the Beit HaMikdash, but he clearly says this at the bottom of six. Hein kodem shmidasek bavodas Hashem. You need hachana, preparation, before you're involved in serving Hashem. V'hein kodem shmidasek binyanim gashmim, and anything that you do in life, because really everything that we do is avodas Hashem, service of God, you need to have the proper preparation. And here, he speaks about in the squiggly in source number 5 that the hands represent our midos, the negative midos that we have. The raglayim represents the hergelim ra'im, our things that we become habituated to, that raglayim playing on hergel, that we become accustomed to. All of these need to be worked on, to be prepared, to do tshuva before serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, having said all this, the key nekuda in the Nesiva Shalom for our purposes is source 6. Inyan hachana, the idea of preparing yourself. So here the Nesiva Shalom is saying you have to do tshuva. You have to be on a spiritual level ready to serve Hashem. You got to prepare yourself for that level. Inyan hachana kavu tzadikei emes leikar gadol mo. In Hasidic thought, hachana, preparation, is of tremendous import. And to a certain extent, they said the preparation for the mitzvah is even greater than the mitzvah itself. Before you do any mitzvah, to realize that you're about to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and just that feeling of levavi anishbar anidkeh, that me, my lowly person, I'm going to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, with that in itself, is lev nishbar v'nikeh elokim lo tivzeh. That's an incredible preparation. That instead of just running into a mitzvah, it's our awareness. I'm about to do this mitzvah in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When a person has this mindset, that's the correct preparation. V'zehu b'vawam o'al mo'ed kodem shin gashim lipalel lifnei Hashem Yitbarach. When before you're about to daven, before you're about to be involved in anything in avodas Hashem, there has to be that mindset of I am about to connect, I'm about to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what was the washing of the hands? The washing of the hands was symbolic, and the feet was symbolic of the preparatory steps necessary before entering into the actual avoda. And this is l'dor seichel. This isn't just that they needed to do that. It's incumbent upon all of us, whether it is physically washing one's hands before davening, which we'll talk about later today, Meretz Hashem, or before eating. It's also the mindset of the importance of hachana, that before you're involved in doing something, you need to prepare accordingly. If we take a look at the Pele Yoetz, just to develop this for a few minutes, the Pele Yoetz in his chapter on hachana, he says, source 7, V'chein kol hachana shadam mechim l'dvar mitzvah, hi gufa chashuva mitzvah. It's considered a mitzvah itself, when we prepare for a mitzvah, right? The heksher mitzvah, the preparation for the mitzvah, is also a mitzvah. Mitzvah isn't just doing the act. All that is entailed in preparing for that act is considered part of the mitzvah. Hinei ki kein mi shekol ma'asav l'shem shemayim, nimtza shekol yomav asuk b'mitzvah. And indeed, if your whole life is about serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's your mindset, so then the entirety of your life, you're involved in mitzvah. U'matov l'vateh b'sfatayim kol ma'aseh sheyomar shu'aseh chan l'mitzvah. And how appropriate it is that we should actually articulate before doing something that we are preparing ourselves for a mitzvah. So, for example, before eating, saying, Harini ba'ala cho'vlishdot, I'm hereby eating and drinking, kedei she'ye gufi bari v'chazak l'avodas Hashem yisbarach, that I'm able to have a strong body to serve Ribbono Shel Olam. Before going on a treadmill, before taking a walk, I'm doing this in order to be able to have a strong body to serve Ribbono Shel Olam. Before you go out to work, I'm doing this in order to be able to provide for my family and do acts of chesed with the money that I make. It's the mindset, it's that statement that we make that then channels everything we do into L'shem Shemayim. The one caveat is, U'bavad sheyu ma'asav maskimim varav. But your actions have to reflect this. If you're just eating because, you know, you want to stuff your face, or you just want to gorge, but it's not in order to be able to serve Hashem, and you're not going to then do something that's going to be productive, so then it's just lip service. So then it's just limited. The key is to be able to have our thoughts and our actions align together. And likewise, in source 8, before davening, that there's an idea of Hikon Likrat Elokecha Yisrael, to prepare yourself, Pasuk in Amos, before meeting Hashem, washing one's face before davening, rinsing one's mouth, getting dressed in nice clothes. So when you know, for men they put a hat and jacket, for a woman she'll, depending on the situation, she'll get out of her robe and actually put on clothes, take off her slippers, put on shoes, that this is ways of preparing for before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Before sitting down to eat, one's going to eat in a dignified manner. All of this is preparation to serve Hashem. And he adds here in the asterisk in 8, there's another aspect of preparation. The hainu hachana b'daiso, to prepare in your mind. Shelo yaseh shum davar katan v'gadol b'peta pitom. Before doing anything, in one's mind, ask oneself, is this the appropriate thing to do? Is this the appropriate thing to say? Is it better to desist from doing and saying? So when one's mind is continuously working and preparing, should I do this? Should I not do this? This is all part of one's avodas Hashem. Obviously, v'alakol, in the double squiggly, sarich la'asod hachana b'dayto term la'asoto kol mitzvah, a person has to prepare themselves before doing a mitzvah, v'kodem bercho shum bracha, before saying a bracha, particularly mentioning Hashem's name, shim yaseh b'peta pitom, if you suddenly do it, right, you suddenly say a bracha, you suddenly daven, or you suddenly do a mitzvah, harehi nisela b'yotzei mechamat chesrem kavana shum kiguf b'lo neshama. It's like a body without a soul, and you're missing the point. This brings us, just to take this one step further, to the sefer we have made mention of many times, Kasher Tziva Hashem, Rav Garfinkel. And a number of people have told me that they're learning it with family members, and it's really made an impact on, even though it's a very intense sefer, at the same time, small steady wins the race. It's not about taking the whole sefer at one, like eating a whole steak in one fell swoop. At the same time, to be able to have this mindset is very powerful. And he says, just remind ourselves of some of these ideas. In order to infuse kavanah into our actions in 9, we need to learn the mitzvot to recognize opportunity to fulfill them. There are many mitzvot we can do throughout our day when we tend to overlook and forget simply because we do not think about them. For example, there are many activities we do every day which, if we would have kavanah, would be considered acts of chesed. Helping out in the home, lending a listening ear to your child, giving them something to eat, are all acts of chesed. I was just mentioning in one of my shiurim my experience of being at the rent-a-car. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a little bit easier because, you know, we're dealing with Yidim, we're dealing with fellow Jews. And this woman was literally chewing off my ear about every, you know, possible coverage by every possible way. It was like 20 minutes off of this whole tirade that I had really no interest in. And I was getting frustrated. And I just like, can I just sign on the dotted line, give me the car keys, and like, whatever you want, just take. And then I stopped myself and I said, here's an opportunity. This is her job. This is what she enjoys. Pretend to show an interest. You know, compliment her on her ability to explain things so well. Right? And it just then reshifts and reframes this experience of, let me get out of here as fast as I can, to literally on the express track, to here's an opportunity the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me to work on my patience. This is midos, to be able to interact with somebody. And then the whole experience becomes elevated into a mitzvah experience. And this is true of ordinary things that we do in our lives. I lend somebody money. I remove a hazardous thing from the street. You know, you're in the supermarket and you see a plastic bag on the floor, which someone could easily lower a lane and slip on. What does it take to just pick it up and throw it out? Small thing. So many of us would do this without even thinking. Stop. I'm doing hereby doing a chesed to protect people from hurting themselves. It changes that same plastic bag into a mitzvah moment. And that's how we have to look at our lives. When an elderly person, Tamid Chassan, passes by, to stand up, when you respond to somebody, when you return a sefer to its place, you're in shul, you bring the chumash back, the siddur back, not just leaving it around. Wow, all of these are chassadim. And he says in asterisks in 10, it is thus possible that two men can learn together all their lives, but after passing away and entering the world to come, they may discover there's a huge difference between them. The one who is careful to have kavanah when learning Torah and doing mitzvot receives a complete reward for his actions, whereas the other, who is not careful to have kavanah, will receive reward that is greatly compromised. Wow. And that's our job, to try to connect to Hashem continuously throughout our day and to take advantage of all the mitzvot. So a person who owns a bakery, and yes, you're earning money, but imagine the amount of chesed you're doing. The same is true for doctor and patients. You know, I've mentioned before, it's like a classic where a student of mine was learning to be a PA. And she said to me, you know, I'm doing rounds all day. I don't have any time in my life for chesed. And like, hello, before you go in the morning to the hospital, say, hineni muchan muzuman, to be doing chesed all day. And then every patient that you see is a chesed, right? It's about reframing it. It's not like, and this is where we often fall short, that we think that Torah and mitzvot are relegated to certain times of my day, to certain places. And that's where I like bring God in, like little boxes. Okay, David and God, come down. Eating for the first few seconds, I don't know if even it's a minute for bracha, come down. And then you'll leave and I'll call you back, when I'm up to the next meal, the next tefillah. No. The Ribbono Shel Olam is with us continuously. It's about us bringing it into a reality that whatever I do before I go to work, hineni muchan muzuman, to be able to, you know, make money, to be able to support a family, to be able to support Chasdei Hashem's son-in-laws who are learning Torah, what a schus! And it changes a long, very long day into an opportunity to benefit others, to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And all this begins with having the following simple and clear intentions before doing a mitzvah. I'm doing this mitzvah, kasher, tiva, Hashem, as Hashem commanded. Now, if we understand idea number one, that the kiyur, that this wash basin was for hachana, was for preparation in order to do avodas Hashem, so now I can appreciate where the women come in. Beautiful idea of Rav Mintzberg, Zatzal, and Ben Melech. He quotes the Targum Yonatan in source number 12, who says, right at the asterisk, these women came to Askin, they came, Lutsala Batra Mishkan Zimna. They came to David, right, Lusosli, to David. Klomar Shabal of Rishal Kena Karakatu Pratze Hatsov Olt. Upeiru Shabal Lo Moed Lishpalel. They gathered together. Why were they gathering together? It wasn't, you know, some rally. They're gathering together to David. The Ibn Ezra writes, explains his word, Shayu Nashim Elo Ovdel Sashem. They were servants of God. The Sarumitaiva Seolam, and they removed themselves from the physical things of this world, and they gave their mirrors as a gift because they don't have any more need for them. And that's why the Torah is mentioning it. They're like living more of a spiritual life than focusing on the physical aspects of life. So the Bet Melech explains, V'nira Levayr at the end of 12, Abidivrei Targum, Shekasher Bo Anashim Halalu Litpalel, when they came to Dav and listened to this Bet Melech, it's Maflukit. Ola Vodat Hashem Akrobatos Vishtachava, when they came to Davim, Shimshu Otam Marot Elu Litkashet Lifnei Boam Lo Amoed. They use these mirrors to prepare themselves to David. Shibikshu, and the underline Lachina Tzman B'tzuram Mechubenet Karaui Lavol Lifnei Melech. Right, you know, they say of the. I read recently that a Rav was telling a Chassid, a mirror is one of the most important things a woman can have. She's going out to a wedding. She starts by looking in the mirror when she, you know, gets ready. And then before she leaves, she takes a look at another mirror. And then when she walks, we're talking about apartment building in Eretz Yisrael, oftentimes they have mirrors in the apartment building. She checks herself again. And then she's going to find a mirror on a bus or in a car, and she's going to check herself again. Telling the chassid that a woman and a mirror are very good friends, and she's continuously checking herself, and don't think that she's OCD, that this is normal for women. So here, the women came with the mirrors in hand, in order to prepare themselves in a mechubadik way. Do I look appropriate to come to, not just a wedding, but to be three bonus shalolim in the Olmoed? Kinyan shidashu b'gemara shetzirich adam osadder gufo malbisha b'tarmi avoli pala. As we saw, Yikol Mikrat Elokech Yisrael, that this is what we need to do to prepare ourselves for Vodas Hashem. So they had the mirrors there preparing themselves. Elishemirov chavivos, but because of the belovedness, when they came to the Olmoed, they donated them as gifts. They were that inspired that they took those very mirrors as gifts. V'chein in 11c, B'zeh Yuvan Madu Yishtamshu on the next page, B'zeh L'Sur HaKiyur Tavka. Now we understand why it's for the Kiyur. Ela Kishem, Shehem Yishtamshu B'zeh L'Chin Atzman L'Kvar Hashem. Since they use these mirrors to prepare themselves to serve Hashem, Yisparach, Asumi Zeh Kli, they therefore made a utensil Ha'asui L'Chadas HaKohanim that was used for the Kohanim to prepare themselves. So that is mirroring the mirror messages is a mindset is exactly this, that the mindset of these mirrors, the messages of these mirrors was prepare yourself, look into the mirror, make sure you're ready to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. On this level, what's the significance of where the placement was? So Marosh Sharim adds something very interesting. He says it's not so much the placement or where it was, but the fact that there was a place. And he notes that if you take a look at the diuk in the Loshon, it says, V'natata shama mayim, and they placed their water. It should have said, and they placed bo, in it water. Why their water? And also in Parsha Pekute, V'natata shama mayim, and you place their water. V'itein shama mayim l'rachsa. Why is it focusing on the place? So he said, it's very fascinating, that even if, let's say on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands and feet, he had a special golden pitcher. So he didn't use the Kiyor. At the same time, he washed his hands and feet there, at that place. So the Kiyor is not just that the wash basin had to be specifically here, but there was something about the placement, that this is where you need to wash your feet, and this, says the Meshech Chachma, is what's being emphasized here. adds Rav Reis in the Roshirim, Efshar Sharem Esgadol Nirmaz Binyanzeh. Perhaps there is a hint to us. Kivan Shekhir Mesamel Chelkam Shalom Nasi, because the lever represented the portion of the women in the Beis HaMikdash, Semo Rav Mashmuti Matsuikane. One could say that there's symbolism here. Hatara Pitrat and Isham Yisrael Mikam Mukam Halachos. Women are exempt from many of the mitzvos of the halachos. Ulam Hiya Mufkeder Al Inyan Kedushas Hamakom Habayim. Just like the wash basin, the focus was this place. The woman is referred to as this place, as the bayit, and her job is to ensure the kedusha, the sanctity of this place. What does this mean? So I'd like to perhaps just for a minute or two expand on this idea as its relevancy to women. Women are considered the home. We know this, Rav Pinkus Atzal brings down in Nefesh Chaya, the famous idea of Bilam, who saw that their tents didn't face each other and bless them. A Jew has his own corner, his own private domain, and there he is alone connecting Kadosh Baruch Hu with love. This is the point that so impressed Bilam. Said Rav Yossi, I never called my wife my wife, I rather called her my home, basically. The wife symbolizes the home, and so say Chazal, his home, this is his wife. It was always the Jewish woman who expressed the private domain, the closed-off corner where just she and Hashem are found. The idea of the Kiyor being a certain place. This is the place of Hachana. This is the place of preparation. This is the place where you get the mindset preparing you to meet Hashem. And this place it is significant, right? You can't do wherever you want in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a place. The woman, the home, represents that place, that she is the one who prepares the home to have the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. This is her place. This is her home. This is where she's at. You know, Rav Pinkus Atzal likens it to like a wedding, where you have all the fanfare and all the band and all the, you know, music and the food, v'chule, the flowers. At the same time, probably the core places at the wedding are the chuppah and the cheder yichud, the quiet places, the place of real deep connection. And that's the job of the woman. The job of the woman is to be connected with Hashem. And that's why she doesn't need all of the fanfare, all of these mitzvot, because she intrinsically is connected. And therefore, she is given the job of ensuring that this connection and this energy of Kedusha is found in the home, because she is so focused intrinsically into that role. She is, by definition, the end of 14, the private domain where the whole relationship with Hashem takes place. Man originated with 248 limbs and organs because he bears thousands of tasks, but a woman is created from just one, the rib. She has one task, which is to stay connected to Hashem, and this is her main job. And that's why the child's first base medrash is in the woman, because this is the place where they are going to learn, this little fetus connection to the Baruch Hu, the first 2 years. This is the attachment. It's not only with the mother, but the whole energy. And he goes on to say that the mother's job, being at the entrance, so to speak, the fountainhead of Kedusha, is to ensure what comes in and what comes out. And he says, in our day and age, it's not just cell phones. Modern communication with radio, television, internet is broken into our private domain. There isn't a moment in 16 where a person can be alone with himself. Either he's listening to something on his earphones or he's talking on the phone. The private domain domain has been invaded, and the home has turned into a public domain. And the whole idea of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh Kodashim, was walls, was privacy, was courtyards. This is how we need to protect our court of Kedusha, the privacy of the Jewish home, the place where we meet Hashem. Okay, my friends, so we've done level number one. Level number one, what was the point of the Kiyor? The point of the Kiyor was Hachana. Our lives, L'dor HaSeichem, has to be preparing. We have to have that mindset before we walk into doing a mitzvah. It changes the entire experience. It allows you to go through very challenging situations with this understanding. I'm doing this in order to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. Second, the women brought these mirrors to prepare themselves to daven to Hashem, to bring korbanos to Hashem. And they got so inspired that they took those mirrors and actually dedicated them. And that's a reminder to the Kohanim, the importance of preparing, the importance of preparing to serve Hashem. And that's what these women embody. And the woman's role being at that place is that they represent, the women represent that deep connection with Hashem, that cheder yichud. And they have to stand guard to ensure what comes in the home, what's spoken about in the home, what's the environment of the home, because she is the hakana, she is the preparation that allows all the ingredients in the home to be one of Kedusha and Tahara. Which then leads us to the next two levels of Kedusha and Tahara. So if the first idea of the Kiyur was preparation, we now move, and again, they're not three separate ideas, they're a continuum. The preparation takes on a certain flavor. Let's take a look at the Tal Lechaim, the Chalvan, Rav Chaim HaKohen in Source 17. And he says, Kayadu kol klei hakodesh noadu limshoch et ha'ara halukit l'olamo. All of the holy utensils in the Beit Hamikdash and the Mishkan were to draw down energy from above into our world. Kol kli v'kli gonez b'chovo orot kodesh el yonim hamiyuchadim lo lefi surato. Everything has a certain light, a certain energy for it. The kiyor, which was made out of nechoshet, which is obviously connected to the nachash, the serpent, which represents the negative forces, the klipos, that enter into our lives, was here besod hatahara, the aspect of purity. And before you can even get to Kedusha, ulam avur Kedusha tzarich kodem kol tahara. You can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash until you're tahor. And this was the tahara, this was the purity. Erchaut b'nikayon kapai v'etzavva mitzvachacha Hashem. You first have to purify yourself before you can be able to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. And this is the idea of washing of the hands. The washing of the hands in the middle of 18, Hamivate b'yadayim shelo shebo po'al pulot v'osem ma'isi mikoch machshava v'itzbarenuch. The hands are the outer manifestation of the things that we're thinking. And the feet are, again, the actions that we actually accomplish. And oftentimes, the things that we do get messed up, and they don't have the purity of spirit that they should have. And as he says it in the second paragraph in 18, Hatuma v'kilkulim yuchulim l'achez b'chitzonios, these impurities, these lack of focus, happens in our hands, in the way we behave. It's easier to start fixing the hands, which is the world of action. And about paying attention to what we're doing. And he describes that how do we wash the hands? We wash the hands, the water comes from above, from a pure place. And then after washing hands, and many people have accustomed to do this, even when washing hands for Netilat Yadayim today, you may have seen this, that people wash their hands, right? Then they rub their hands together to make sure the water went on all parts of their hand. And then they lift their hands up, right? Se'u Yadechem Kodesh, lift up your hands. And the lifting up the hands symbolically is about that I lift up my hands to be able, now that they're purified, to be able to serve Hashem. So I've taken the water which represents purity, as we've seen, and I'm able to wash away all the impure thoughts, all the impurity that I did, that my actions had this negative tinge to it, and now that I've washed my hands, I now lift them up and say, my hands are giving over completely to the Baruch Shalom. Parenthetically, Rav Pinkas Zatzal in his Siddur on Tfilah also says that when you lift up your hands, you can almost imagine that you want your hands to be the source of bringing down all bracha, Like, you could almost feel like, Hashem, I need parnasa, I need refuah, I need yeshua, I need shiduchim, I need zera shel kayama. You open your hands ready for all of these brachos to come down. Okay, now, with this, my friends, we can now move into the Tasha Rabbi. So that's avoda and avoda. He says, you find in Tanakh a story where people washed their hands, which had the symbolism of purity of action, purity of thought. And that is obviously the Egla Rufa, the decapitated calf where somebody dies, a nearby city, the elders go, and they go to a brook, and they, you know, kill, they chop off the back of the eagle's head, and they wash their hands by the brook, and they say, Yadenu lo shafchu et adam hazeh, right? Veinenu lo ra'u, our hands didn't spill this blood. Did you think that their hands did spill this blood? We are not, we have not done anything that would have caused this person's death. The washing of the hands, hainu in the double squiggly, in 20, hainu lahaid shemaisei yadeyim torim imitazu, our hands are pure. We're not guilty of this. Shelo hayav mehem shum chashash negiya shayav shar legromita ta'ish, that we have caused them in any way. Uke'en zeh haita inya mitzvah sarachitza shalam rubanav parshasu. And that's likewise the idea of washing the hands in our parsha. Ki terem bo'am l'sharet lifnei Hashem. Before they were going to serve Hashem, hutrechu l'rchotz et yedeim v'ragleihem, haynu l'taher ma'atzveihem. Washing the hands and feet was about purifying their deeds. Shaloti tareba vadatam eza machshava zara. You don't want to have any impure thoughts entering into what you're involved in doing. Or eza nigiyal shem gadula v'kavod. Or that there's some sense of, ah, I'm going to serve in the base of Midas now. Look at me. It's not about me. Ela vadatam tehei nasei belev tahor v'nachom b'li shum skyagu v'gam. It's about purely serving the Ribbono Shalom. Wash away any vestige of self-interest, any ideas of self-inness. You know, what comes to my mind is when I was just beginning teaching, first few years, I remember I was burnt out. It didn't take long to burn out in teaching. And I remember going to a certain Rosh Kollel in L.A. and sitting down with him and saying, like, I can't go on. I'm burnt out. You know, I was like, well, look, 25 years old, you know, burned out early. And he said to me, your problem is you put you in your teaching. Obviously, you have to put you in your teaching, he said, but you are just a conduit from above. And when you are able to purify that conduit, then you realize that the Ribbono Shalom is just infusing you with the ability to speak, with the ability to teach. And then it's not about you and you and you, and you're the sense of everything, but you just have to clear away space that the Ribbono Shalom can just be able to teach through you. And now, you know, 30 plus years later, B'chasdei Hashem, still in the business, and that was such good advice. It's about clearing away all those blockages of self. V'inyan, as I tell a story about myself, okay, you get the picture. V'inyan rechitza zu nohege b'chol adam v'chol zman. This is universal, all times, all people. Ki kerem nigash adam l'avoda voda l'Hashem. Before you serve any avoda to Hashem, davening, learning, brachos, sarich l'taher atzvo mikol negios. Kegon kasher nigash l'avoda v'ad tefila. Before davening, for example. Shenachshev k'moshen ifgash l'kriv yishem l'Hashem. It's from bringing a korban to Hashem. And shavadato teshtei b'tara. Nikiyah mekol negiyah shol shtut, shol kavo v'gdulav kadome. Why are you davening? Who's looking at you when you're davening? What's your focus in davening? Is it self-serving? Is it about connecting to Hashem? What are your thoughts? And indeed, this is the famous Igaret HaRamban in source number 21. V'haser kol divrei ha'olam l'ibcha b'eidat tefillah. Remove all aspects of worldly thoughts during davening. V'chein l'ibcha lifnei makom baruch hu, and prepare your mind. V'taher rayoncha. So the preparation was level one. Now level two. V'taher rayoncha. Purify your thoughts. V'chashov hadibor kodem shetesei ripicha. Think before you speak. Like, mamish, make yourself into that mindset. I'm about to talk to Ribbono Shel Olam. What should I be thinking about? What should my focus be? Where's my mind going to be at? You know, am I thinking about, you know, what I'm making for dinner? Or am I thinking about the words that I'm saying? This is the Tahara. This is the purity that we need to be speaking about. Lotzi tevos tefilos bepeh, malei ubelev shalem, saying the words of tefillah out loud with a full heart. As Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, that every word that we say immediately goes up to Shemayim, and they check, is it worthy to be received or not? Whoa. When you think of long those lines, you think over and over again, is my tefillah holding where it should be holding? 22. V'zeo anyam ha'shenivsak b'shulchan aruch. And there's a favorite shahalach in Shulchan Aruch. Shetarich ha'adam l'rchot gadav kodem ha'tefillah. V'hainu dugman ha'kohen shayav mekadesh ha'adam yinakira kodem ha'vanoso. Shekmo shamay takam ha'tor rikitzal ter ma'asei gadav kadei lavod avod ha'migdash b'liv tar v'nacho. Ken gan v'dat ha'tefillah shim ha'kom ha'vanat ha'kobano. Tarich ha'adam l'rchot gadav mikodem. So, just like the Kohen would wash his hand, and again, it's not just a ritualistic act. In the washing of the hands, there was tahara, there was purity, that the hands are able to purify all aspects of my actions, and the thoughts that lead to my actions. The halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is before you daven, before you daven shachris, before you daven mincha, before you daven marit, before you daven, you wash your hands. And again, it's not just to wash my hands. Okay, step one is people need to work on washing their hands before davening. Step two is that the washing of the hands needs to purify our mind. It's like that preparatory stage. Well, why am I washing my hands? Well, the Kohen washed his hands to prepare for davening. Oh, good, I'm also preparing for davening. Great. And make sure I look appropriate to daven. Great. Okay, I got the first mindset of the mirror's messaging. Now, what's the second one? The mindset is, am I in a level of tahara? Are my thoughts pure thoughts? Am I understanding them, talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam? I need to work through that level of preparation and purity to be able to meet with the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is true of the 100 brachos. All of this has to be in front of whom I'm saying a bracha. What am I saying? To have this, the kavano, the simcha, the levav shalim, to say it with a full heart. And indeed, this is be'esek haTorah, before I learn. All of this is that purity of the mind, purity of the spirit. And indeed, the goal is, and again, this is really a major focus of the woman, of Asu Lishmi Beit Kedusha, that we have to create our own mini homes, that they should be a place, Kedei Lavod Avodatam B'Lev Tahor, to serve Hashem with a pure heart, and to create the right environment, and what a person's being exposed to, that there's Tahara, there's purity in the house, and that's what we have to work on, that the Shechina, the Divine Presence, should feel comfortable living in our homes. And as he notes at the end of 23, it's a little bit scary, Moshe Rabbeinu was told in last week's parsha, they have fallen very quickly from the path that I commanded them. In the arrow, in 1 minute, it is so easy to turn from the path that we're supposed to be on. The Kedusha Batara. Batara. Luze ain't zochim koka. Sorry. Avali nahay b'derech Hashem, the Kedusha Batara. But to serve Hashem, to walk up the path, Luze ain't zochim koka. That doesn't happen so quickly. Ella nitracha luze voda rabba yom achar yom. There you need day after day. Now, if the second aspect is tahara, is purity, and purifying our thoughts, and l'dor sechem, for all generations, we have to do this to wash our hands before davening. What's the significance of the placement of the kiyor right before the mizbeach? So, here the Tal Chaim, the Chalvan, Zat Psalm 24, points out that there's a very fascinating psychological reason for this. Is that oftentimes it's hard to reach a level of Tahara. I'm synopsizing 24 and 26. It's hard to reach this level of purity. I have so much going on in my head that to really be in that level is hard. So what do I need to do? I need to have a vision of Kedusha. I need to look at the Mizbeach of a total sanctification. supplication to Ribbono Shel Olam. When I look towards the Mizbeach, that arouses within me the divine spirit, the divine soul that yearns for Tahara, that wants to have a purified life. Sometimes you need, oftentimes, a vision. If I have a vision, right? Therapists do this all the time. Who do you want to be? What do you envision yourself to be? Where do you want to get to? Right? If you don't have a vision of where you want to get to, then it's going to be very hard to ever get there. So when I see the Mizbeach and I see the complete dedication to Hashem and that fire of dedication to Hashem, I see that level of Kedusha. That level of Kedusha will help me be able to elevate me to this level of Tara, of purity. And as he says in the double squiggly, Hakitzufim El Hatov, Misayim Lanu Lasur Mara. The desire, the yearning for good helps the person to stay away from evil. Because Kol Yudi Samei Leo Kashur LeKodesh HaKadoshim, we all yearn to be connected to the Holy of Holies. V'dafke B'zchut Sima'on Zeh, it's specifically because of this thirst, Humekabelta Kachot Lasot Avodah Shel Hachana, that enables us to do the work of preparation, Sheltara, the work of purity, Lasoda Devodat HaNefesh Shel Kiyor, to do the work of the Kiyor. The work of the Kiyor is the work of purity. And in order to do that work, you have to have the vision, the desire, the yearning of holiness. I want to reach there. Ah, you want to reach there? This is what you have to do to get there. Right? You want to be a marathon runner who's going to run, you know, the 50 mile, you know, whatever, even if it's not in record time, but you got to work out to get there. You just can't, like me, you know, think that you're going to run 50 miles. I might run one block if I was lucky, yeah? Like, you got to prepare beforehand. Ah, you want a life of Kedusha? Hachana, preparation, mindset, Tara, purity, and then you'll get to the level of Kedusha. This, by the way, even though I didn't bring it down, in this Maimer, he speaks about that this is hinted at also in terms of the Lel HaSeder, where we have Kadesh Urchat. So it should be first Urchat and then Kadesh. First Urchat, which is the Tahara, the purity, the washing of the hands, and then Kadesh, and then Kedusha. He said that oftentimes a person isn't on a level of Urchat. We just came out of Egypt. We're not there. So we have Kadesh. We have the vision of Kedusha. Once I have the vision of Kedusha, then Urchatz, then I can begin the process of washing our hands, and then Karpas, which is the vegetable that is found deep in the ground. I'm able to pull it up. I'm really able to go through that process and then move throughout the Seder. How does this connect to the women? So we can say two ideas. One, again, back in Rapelsky's Hatzel, 25. On a deeper level, the construction of the Kiyor can be understood in terms of the purpose to serve in the Mishkan. Before the Kohanim could approach the Mizbeach or enter the Mishkan, they were required to wash their hands and feet with water from the Kiyor. It was a rite which purified the body, making it fit to perform the Avodah in an unblemished way. As David HaMelech says, who shall ascend Hashem's mountain and who shall stand in its holy place? One of clean hands and pure mind. Thus the Kiyor was made specifically from the copper mirrors of the righteous Jewish women. They wanted to purify their neshamos by taking the mirrors, which had served vanity, and cast them aside. The act of giving up their mirrors was a rite of purification. This imbued the shiny copper plates with the special ability to purify the minds and bodies of those who would wash from the water of the Kiyor, which were made from these very mirrors. And the hands and feet of the Kohanim were thus properly sanctified before approaching the Avodah. They went through a rite of purification of Tara by giving up these mirrors, and therefore it really imbued into the Kiyor this aspect of Tara. Likewise and similar, the Ol Moshe brings down that Ki Ein Lavo, Ki efshar lavo lifnei hamelech b'tzach malei gashem v'chaim shebikush milui tavos olam hazeh. You really can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash focusing only on the physicality of this world. It's a contradiction. And that's why they brought their mirrors to show they've changed. Shachein hem yishtanu v'zachul ashras hashchina. They changed. They went through a transformation of the women. Now again, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have mirrors. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't have makeup. It means it's symbolic. that they took that desire and that focus of only Olam Hazeh and been able to elevate it and sanctify it and purify it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we have the Kiyores Hachana, preparation, and we have the women use their mirrors for preparation, and we have the mirrors is the idea of Tara, of purity, of taking that water that wasn't touched by human hands. The water was spring water. It's pure water, right? You take that pure spring water and you put it on your hands, it infuses purity into you. Purity of the mind, purity of the spirit. When we wash our hands before davening, it prepares us, and before eating, it prepares us, l'dor teichem, that we have to have that purity of spirit. I'm eating to serve Hashem, I'm davening. My words have to be carefully enunciated and thought through. The women sanctified themselves, these mirrors then became that model of sanctity, that model of purity, that the Kohanim were able then to express in their own Avodas Hashem. We now move into the third aspect. The Hachana and the Tahara then lead us to the third aspect of Nevenzel Shlita, Source 28. V'tzirich lomar shechashivu shiratat ha'arpi v'zei mishum, that all the Kedusha of the Avoda Mishkan haya koim shoev melto Kedusha daim v'raglaim. The Kedusha of the service, that the holiness, the sanctity of the service the Kohanim would have, would come from this Kiyur. Bipulazu munach hayasod l'kedusha shesharel l'kohen b'avadato. This is the foundations of the Kedusha that a Kohen has in his service, and that's why we focused in on this Kiyur. Now here's his key. He says, Tomru v'arei kvar kodem l'chein taval l'kohen eko gufo b'mikva v'nitar u'ma amur kiddush yadayim v'raglayim zel osif. Before the Kohen, the Kohanim, would come into the Beit HaMikdash, they had to go to the mikvah. That's why if you do these tunnel tours, you'll see that they'll point out that there were a lot of mikvahs. There were a lot of mikvahs in the Old City, in that area, by the Beit HaMikdash. The Kohanim had to go, everyone really had to go into, but the Kohanim for the Avodah had to go into the mikvah to prepare themselves. If they went to the mikvah, so they already have tahara, right? What is a mikvah? A mikvah is to create tahara, purity. And in fact, how do we call this service of washing the hand? It's referred to as kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, the sanctification of the hands and the feet. Ela shatvila b'mikvah in the asterisk in 28, rakhe sira me'aguf et hatuma. The tvila, the immersion in the mikvah, removed from the body the tuma, et hamafriya l'kedusha, the blockage to holiness. Aval kiyei minayin yare kedusha gufo. He's already tahor. Now he has to have kedusha. And that came from the kiyor, where it impacted his whole body. Then uba tarau megalash hakedusha tzura b'kiyur zor lo ba min divat nechoshet regila. This wasn't just from a regular donation. Ela min nechoshet shekadma v'nitkasha yidei tefila. This came from the women who gathered to daven. Asher tzavu patech olmai. They came to daven. These mirrors represent, this is a mirror mindset number 3, tefila, that their desire was to daven to Ribbono Shel Olam. And these, Ela she'av haitazu nechoshet amarot she'oltan nashim mar'ah hikli ishi, this was very beloved to these women. V'itachen afil she'kashir ba'lu pala lo nitkavu kol nashim lotero tamar. Maybe they weren't even planning on giving these mirrors. But v'rak b'hashpa'at tfilatan ha'elyonah. Right, we all carry, many people carry mirrors in their purses, and they had it on them, but when they felt the kirvas elokim, when they felt the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chashu shegama tamarot hein tzrichot litron l'mishkan, mihizramimut ruach kazu, they were so elevated at that moment, from the closeness to Hashem, from the Kedusha that they wanted to donate, their mirrors. That aspect of tefillah, which is about hisrohamos, it's about elevation, that is what was infused into those mirrors, which was then put into the kiyor, allowing the kohanim before their avoda to also be infused with kedusha for avodas Hashem. I will add here, the Ol Moshe brings down from the Darush Moshe, where Moshe Feinstein's at Psalm 32, another idea of where you see how these mirrors are dafka kedusha, not just tara, but really kedusha, is that these women had no other motive or agenda in having children just to continue Klal Yisrael. They did it mamish l'shem shemayim. All right, and that's what kedusha is—really serving the Ribbono Shel Olam without any personal interest involved. And that is what the Kohanim needed to understand. You want to bless the people, you want to serve the people, you need to do it with that utmost sincerity mindset of kedusha, which these women infused into the mirrors, which went into the kiyur. And Rav Nevin Zal points out in 29 and 30 that the whole idea of the Mishkan was tefillah. You know, we normally think, he says, that, oh, we don't have korbanos, we don't have sacrifices today, okay, so then we have a substitute, like a substitute teacher. Till the teacher comes back, till we have the Beis HaMikdash, then we have tefillah. No. Tefillah was the calling of the day. Tefillah was found in the Beis HaMikdash aside from the korbanos. Tefillah is l'chatchilah. And that's why he says that every korban needed to have, whether it was vidui, confession, but if it was a sin offering, or it was words of praise by a korban shlomim, that you needed to have words, tefillah, with the korbanos. Because tefillah is our connection to Hashem. The women who are going there to David are reminding us of this import, that we need to take our tefillah and bring us to that level of kedusha, that level of holiness, with, in the times of the Mishkan Beis HaMikdash, korbanos. And when we don't have that, the tefillah serves as that linkage to this aspect of kedusha. And indeed, as the Pirkei Torah of Gifter points out, Zatzal, he says the tefillah tzma chashuva avoda. Tefillah itself is a chashuva avoda. And that's why v'zu havoda hi migeder nasal levavenu el kapayim el kel b'shamayim. We lift up our hands to our God in heaven. The washing of the hands before we daven is that mindset. I'm lifting up. This is to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. On this level, a final idea in 34, what's the significance of where the kiyor is? So says Mikdash Shalevi Rav Duner Zatzal, he says, they went to the mikvah. They prepared themselves. They're gunning to go. And they're entering into the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, and what's the first thing they see? La'eza kabbalat panim hu zacha. Kabbalat panim ha'ita b'dvuto shel kiyor. The first thing they see is the kiyor, the wash basin. And it says, they're saying, kikola kedusha shirachash v'atzma v'anhena. All the kedusha you got until now, all the elevation you got till now, it's not enough. You need to what? You need to wash your hands again. You need to prepare yourself again. Lulam deinu, to teach us, and this is such a crucial lesson for our lives. Ki af pam ein dai bavadateinu, veinanu yuchalim lanua filomar, latzvenu kesinu kol muta, leinu b'shleimos. I prepared myself. I went to the mikvah. I'm there. You're not there. Wash your hands. Prepare yourself some more. We've never reached there. Tami nidreshe mitanu avodah nosefet, hitkashut nosefet. We can always become more holy. We can prepare more. We can purify more. Bechdei lagil piskat hamayla elenu bichotenu lafil, to what we can reach. And that says the Sasemes al Terech Remes in 33, the four special parshios this week we read, Shkolim, the first of them. Shkolim, you have to be able to be hisnadvot. You have to have an awakening to give, to share. Remember Zohar. Always remember where you're standing in front of and who you are. Which then leads you to para v'achodesh, para which is purity, hachodesh which is hitchachos. Constantly have to be in the mode, hands, of giving, shkolim, remembering that this has to be a process of standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, of the spiritual aspect that we're at, that prepares us for para, for HaChodesh, for purity, and for HaChodesh Hitchatshus, renewal, and Kedusha. My friends, the mirrors mindset is our job. We have to work through life being sensitive to our hachanos, our preparation, our recognizing our tahara, the purity of our motives and mindset, and ultimately try to reach a level of kedusha, try to reach a level of holiness, try to reach a level of connection, try to reach a level that this is where I want to be. I want to have that closeness to Ribono Shel Olam. Shkolim, Zohar, Para, HaChodesh. Even when we reach there, wash your hands again. Always work on yourself. Always be a growing type of person. Always being in that mode of how can I grow and purify myself and be ready for this relationship with Hashem.